Welcome to For a Beautiful You. Today is our debut show on the wonderful BBS Talk Radio, which is the worldwide internet talk network. We are so excited to be a part of this wonderful broadcasting system and so excited to introduce to you our very first guest, our beautiful and charismatic Nashville recording artist, Gina James.
Well,
hi, Gina.
Thank you. Hello, and how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much. I want to tell our listeners a little bit about you, Gina. I met Gina via phone, actually, about 3 months ago, and we have developed a wonderful friendship of camaraderie and fun, bringing out the positive goodness in both of us through our conversations. And Gina is a fantastically talented songwriter and musician. We just love Gina. We have so much to talk with Gina about today. But we're going to first ask Gina to talk about herself. Now, we're going to start out how it all started with you, Gina, when you won the Miss Florida title. That's where it started for you.
Yeah, so that's where it all started.
Okay, and we want you to talk a little bit about that with us and how you met the love of your life.
Okay. Back in 1988, had won our local for Miss Naples pageant and then went on to enter into the state pageant, which was held in Orlando, Florida, where I won the Miss Florida pageant. And one of the judges happened to be a talent scout for a independent label, Playback Records / Ridgeway Records. And they were kind enough. He was kind enough to, after the talent competition was over, he knocked on my hotel room door and entered in as my father and I were sitting there and started to tell us that he thought that I had something that his friend was looking for. He said he was looking for a female vocalist that had a sound that didn't sound like every other girl singer. He wanted something different. And he said when I took stage earlier in the night to compete, he said the difference was the others he felt were doing something that they enjoyed and I was a professional. And I was just blown away that this guy's given me all these compliments, and when the whole time during the pageant he had this stoic face, you know, and I'm thinking he hated me. But anyway, I have a deep raspy voice, as you can tell, so he said to me if I would like to do ask us if we would like for me to do a audition. Of course I wanted to audition. And, of course, my father, you know, wanted me to audition. So we did the audition, and they spoke for probably 15 minutes, the longest 15 minutes of my life at the time, and come back and ask us to sit down and ask who our entertainment attorney was. Well, Daddy looked at me, and I looked at Daddy, and neither one of us having a clue what an entertainment attorney was. Dad said to him, "Now look here," said, "she's a country singer that doesn't read music. She plays guitar, but she plays by ear. She taught herself to play guitar." And he said, "We're not fancy people." He said, "By any way, shape, or form," he said, "I ain't never seen an attorney for anything in my life." And he said, I don't know what, you know, nothing about this. So the guy told us right then what we were, you know, getting into and whatnot, which was no big deal with an indie label. But at the time, I thought it was the biggest deal in the world because they're putting me in a studio. And actually, out of that deal, we did hit up to 38 on the top 40. So we climbed to 38 on the top 40.
Wonderful.
That was crazy, though. I thought that was wonderful, and I think back at 38, and I think, oh,
well,
horrible.
Well, still at the beginning. Well, yeah, but, you know, you were just starting out. And
it was horrible. But anyway.
It's like competing in a pageant, you know. You're competing in the same pageant four times in a row. It's like, okay, when am I going to make the top 10?
Exactly.
They don't like me.
Exactly. So anyway, after we did this, we landed in Nashville. It was a whirlwind to record and get photos. We recorded at a little station called Reflection Studio in Nashville, and we landed on Thanksgiving Day and ate Thanksgiving dinner at the Shoney's, which was right across the street from the hotel, so we could walk there. And it was right off of Demumbrian and Music Row. And that's, if anybody knows Nashville, they know Music Row is where, like 16th Avenue and Music Row is, and Demumbrian is where all the major labels are. Like you'll see, the Hall of Fame is there, located there. So everything was in walking distance. So we picked a hotel that we could, you know, really see everything without having to rent a car because we couldn't really afford one. So anyway, we got the all that done and behind us, and I was playing my band. I had a band by this time, and I'm playing doing my club work while they're doing, you know, the productions and all that stuff. And they kept giving us a different date that something was going to be released. It never was released on that date. But anyway, it never is, even with the major labels. So what ended up happening was I moved back. At this point, we moved back to Nashville because that way it was only 6 hours commute, or to North Carolina, I apologize. That way we were only a 6-hour commute to Nashville as opposed to being in Naples, Florida, is quite a, you know, a jaunt. But anyway, we came from Naples to North Carolina, stayed here for approximately, I don't know, a year and a half maybe. And I was in Nashville, and I met this person. And we didn't know it was Fanfare Week. And at this point, I wasn't with Daddy. I was with a girlfriend of mine. And she was telling everybody she was my manager. I didn't even have a manager. And anyway, at this, we went to everybody. We asked, where do you go? Where does everybody go? You know, after we were done getting our photography done, we were like, well, where does everybody go out here in Nashville? And they said, the Palace. You know, that's right across the street from the Opry. So that's where everybody, you know, hangs out. And we're like, okay, where's the Palace? So we find the Palace. And we go in and we sit down, and all the walls are covered. It looks like wallpaper of who's who of country music, you know, signed to the Palace, autographed to the Palace. And I looked to my right, and I saw this guy that was so handsome and had the Rod Stewart hair going on, and I'll never forget. Ron had a blue jacket on, and it ended up being he asked a guy to ask me to dance. He sent someone else over, and I said, "Well, does he have a mouth?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Then if he wants to dance with me, then have him come and ask me to dance." So he wasn't used to that because I didn't know at the time who I was talking, who we were talking about. But anyway, he comes walking over, shaking his head and grinning, looking down at me, and he says, "Would you like to dance?" And I said, "Sure." So on the way to the dance floor was a pretty good jaunt, and he says to me, I learned all his life history very quickly. I learned that he was the head of George Jones' band. He was the bass player for George Jones. His name was Ron Gaddis. He was the ex-husband of Lori Morgan, the father of Lori Morgan's daughter, Morgan, is her first name. And all that was learned before we hit the floor. And then we hit the dance floor. Okay, I was there for 7 more days, and George was off. George Jones was off for 7 more days. So for 7 days, we spent every day doing something together. And so, of course, a romance bloomed, and that was with Ron. And I was crazy over him. And then this went on. I opened up for George a couple of times, and I got my feet wet, you know, just not by touring with him, but just at different places that was going to be near, you know, where we were, where we lived. And so I would get to open for him then by Ron, you know, helping me out there. But anyway, needless to say, that romance ended. And I went to work at the Palace. And everybody that works at the Palace sings. Every job, dishwasher, whatever, they're there to sing, to be heard. Everybody wants to be heard. Okay, I do my 4 songs. I come off the stage, and this young man comes up to me and says, "Porter Wagner is in the back, and he would like to speak to you." And I go, "What?" And he says, "Yeah." And I said, "Where?" And he said, "He said for me to bring you back." And we're walking back, and I'm thinking, I'm looking. It's a dark, long room. That don't look like Porter Wagner to me, because I was used to the nudie suits, the sparkles and the glitter of them all. And this guy was wearing a pair of Wranglers and a flannel shirt and a Bass Pro Shop cap on. I thought, that ain't Porter. But I'll know as soon as he opens his mouth, because I've been a fan since I was a child. And I got back there, and he stood up, and he said, "Hi, I'm Porter Wagner." And I about fell over. And I said, "Well, hello. It's so nice to meet you." And my heart just fell to my feet. I could not believe that I was, you know, standing at the table, and he's asking me if I would like to join him, and I say, "I can't, you know, I'm working." And he said, "Oh, but you can." And I said, "No, I can't." He goes, "Yeah, you can." He and the owner were very good friends. So he had already sent one of his boys to go tell Mr. Hobbs, Johnny Hobbs, who owned the Palace, that he had told him that he would like to speak with me. Would it be okay if I joined him at the table? And I did so. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after I met him, I was playing the Grand Ole Opry. 6 weeks after I met him, he went to my father, and he said to my dad, she's living in an area that's not safe. I care a lot for your daughter. She's got so much talent. Her voice is so strong and it's different. It doesn't sound like anyone else. And he said, I want her to move in my home and live in a wing of my home. And I will not touch her in any vulgar way. And nothing like that will you have to worry about.
And this is going to all be in an autobiography that you're currently writing.
Yes, with my sweet, sweet writer. They blessed me with the best writer. My writer's name is Jereen, and Jereen Mason, and she's out of Washington State, and she is a living doll. She has become such a great friend to me, and she's also going to be at the pageant that we're
having. And which we're going to talk about a little bit later as you're hosting the award-winning.
Yeah, I jumped ahead, didn't I? I'm telling.
No,
I'm telling
that's okay.
Too early.
That's okay.
Anyway. Porter had asked my father if I could live there. Dad said he had to think about it. And he thought about it. And Daddy talked to me about it. And I said, no, Daddy, he's never, come on to me in any way. And he said that he would take care of you. Daddy told me, he just said that he would take care of you. He would make sure you were fed, that you had not to worry about a power bill or anything else, and you'll be working at the Grand Ole Opry and opening for him on his away dates. And he asked me how I felt about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Daddy, are you kidding? The mansion? I would love it. And be darned if that wasn't what happened. So I moved in with him, and my third year with him, he got a very special gift for me. But he had phoned my father up, and he'd asked my father if he could speak with my dad in private, when I wasn't even expecting my dad to be there. I think I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
In our
yes,
talks. But anyway, they go in this room, and I'm following them, and all of a sudden Porter goes, no. It was just him and Dad going in. And they called it the cigar room, but nobody smoked in the room. I don't know why they called it the cigar room. But it was a gentleman's room, I guess, right? Anyway, they go inside, and Porter and Daddy are in there for probably what seemed like a half hour, maybe was 20 minutes, I don't know. Anyway, he comes back out. Dad's drying his eyes, and Porter's grinning like a stuck pig. And by this time, feelings had developed big time between Porter and I, but Porter had never kissed even, because he said he had made a promise to my dad, and I was so young when we, first got together, and he said that he would, he's a man of his, Porter was a man of honor, and so was my father.
Now, let's get to your dad, because the two most important men in your life was Porter Wagner. The very talented Porter Wagner, and your father.
Absolutely.
Now, how did you feel your relationship with your father has influenced your music and your career?
Well, it's such a hard question to answer, because Daddy's in everything. I mean, everything I do, I can... Any anything that's up, I used to jokingly say, if there's any good in me, Daddy put it there. And Daddy had a beautiful voice, a bass voice. He's 6'4", very handsome man. But he was shy, and he would not ever have been on stage like me. I mean, I wanted, where's the stage? You know, I'm ready. But not that. But anyway, Daddy was in the songs that I wrote. He still is. Daddy made me who I am. Daddy was my mother and my father. I had no mother. And so Dad had to be everything.
And Dad was also a positive influence in your life, starting at a young age, even through the adulthood.
All the way till his death, which happened, of all days, Daddy was like a child at Christmas. And I was like a child at Christmas. We would decorate like crazy. Anyway, on Christmas Day and on 2005, I had moved in at my father's home. And because Dad had been diagnosed with small cell carcinoma, which is a rare and very deadly disease of his lungs. And Dad had taken altogether over a year's time 87 treatments of chemo and radiation, and he passed in my arms on Christmas Day 05 at 5:25 exactly. And the one that called me as I was holding Daddy's face, and I had said to him that I loved him, asked him if he was okay, and I told him I loved him. A tear fell from his right eye, then a tear fell from my dad's left eye. And then he closed his eyes at 56 years old. And he left me. And I collapsed, and Porter called me.
And you know, dads are very special and important in their daughters' lives. I don't think that the father and daughter relationship is stressed enough. I really believe that a father's influence molds a young girl at a young life. And it seems to have happened with you. And
absolutely,
it's very important. Because they are the ones, they are the first males that young girls look up to.
I'll tell you something about Dad that I've never told you. And, you know, keep in mind, guys, that we were really poor. But Daddy bought me my first diamond. You could barely see it, but it was a diamond. Because he said he didn't want me to ever. I think I was 12. He said he didn't want some guy to give me a diamond and me feel obligated to some guy. He wanted to be the first guy to give me a diamond. And he bought me a diamond. A beautiful diamond ring, and I still have it today. And that ring, that diamond ring, means as much to me as my 6.5-carat engagement ring that Porter was about to give me. When, and the story that I was just telling, yeah, this, you know, he came out, when they come out of the smoking room, you know, Porter then gets down on one knee. And what he had done is he had asked my dad if he had his permission to ask me to be his wife. And I jumped
up and
down.
When you lost the two most important men in your life, it devastated you for a while. Okay, you kind of withdrew.
And really withdrew.
And you had to find yourself, you had to find within yourself the opportunity to be able to go through the grieving process. But in the course of this, you have had friends and family who have been inspirations to you while you were grieving. And I think when you have special people there that are with you to support you through the good as well as the rough times, then you'll know who your really friends, special friends are.
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, Catherine Brown is, Cat is what I call her, and she is my, she was my saving grace during the time that I was losing Porter and lost Porter during those times, because she said, Gina, 24/7, anytime you call me. And I did. I called her many times at 4 o'clock in the morning. And many times, and she's a nurse, an RN in San Diego, and works 12-hour shifts. But she picked up that phone. And she would cry with me and help me through Marty Stewart. God bless Marty Stewart. He's been Connie Smith, his wife, who is a huge star in her own right. They have been there for me. And just like the writer of the book that we're writing, the story of the autobiography of the life that I shared with the man that I will always, he will be the love of my life no matter what. Everybody says, well, you're young yet, you don't know that. I know that. Porter Wagner was the love of my life.
And he brought out the beauty in you. Made you feel special, you feel important. It made you feel like a woman.
He called me his jewel, like a jewel necklace, a diamond, a earring, or emerald or whatever. And every day was a Christmas present. All this is in the book. It was just, there's so much, but gosh, I could talk about it all night and you wouldn't get but a tiny portion of it. But Porter, I let people and what people thought of me keep me from that marriage.
Yes.
And I cannot, and it kills me today because if I had to do it over, I would do it so differently. And I say this because if there's someone out there that's going through anything like this, we're never promised tomorrow. And I let what people would say, what Rag magazines said, gossip column said, get to me, and about an age difference. And there was huge age difference. Let's be real. There was 40-some years difference in our age.
But you've taken a negative now, and you're turning it into a positive, which we're going to talk a little bit about. You've got your autobiography that you're writing. You're making an album, which we are so excited to be able to.
Oh, I am so excited. I have some great writers on here along with, I mean, I've written some. I've got Garrett Walker's on here. I've got Gary Beard. Wow, what a writer. I mean, fantastic songwriter. Jason Capps, one of his songs is on here. Marty and I wrote two of them. One that we're going to do as a duo.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, and
Only do you do have your autobiography and your album, you have USO tour coming up with Toby Keith. And you're opening up a future concert.
Yes, we've got lots of concert dates coming up this summer with him and with, we've got it with Toby, and then we've got some with Toby, we've got some with Tracy Lawrence, with Clay Walker, with, oh my gosh, I should have brought my had my itineraries over here, shouldn't I?
Well, for security reasons, listeners have to know we cannot release dates at this point, and eventually they will be released.
It's just because of Homeland Security right now is a But anyway, it's gonna be an exciting time, and the troops, God bless them, they will stay. And you talk about hot. Those poor boys. It's so hot over there. I mean, it's pitiful. Garrett.
Well, when they see Gina, they're going to need to have, if they're hot now.
I don't know about that. But
you know what?
Any listeners, I would love for you to come to, I've got MySpace pages, or my MySpace is Gina James Country. And then my web page, which is under construction, is GinaJames.com. But I would love for you to come on. But the MySpace has a lot of pictures on it. So if you want to see what I look like, you can see those. And I would love to meet friends.
Our listeners have a treat here, Gina, because they not only are hearing about your autobiography, an upcoming album, USO tour with Toby Keith in the fall, and you're also going to be hosting the award-winning U.S. Beauty's National Pageant.
Yay, now that I'm so excited about.
Yeah. You know, it's a wonderful pageant system based on a positive self-image and self-esteem.
That's the whole reason that I am so excited about this pageant.
So you went to Florida 20 years ago. Now you just made
a
full
circle. I'm telling you, not quite 20 now. Don't.
Okay, we won't go there with age.
We're not going to talk about that.
That's
anyhow.
Right. Still a youngin', like you say, youngin'. And I'm talking with Gina, I'm starting to pick up some of the slang.
Southern draw
talk. I find myself talking about.
I apologize. The Southern drawl comes out from time to time.
Let the listeners know what you're going to be doing at the national pageant. You know, and you're going to be hosting the Salute to Hollywood.
I love that. Old Hollywood.
Yeah,
not the
old
new Hollywood, where these girls are running wild and good gosh, I don't want to talk about new Hollywood. It's the Salute to Old Hollywood and the beautiful, you know, back in the Rat Pack days. That's what
I
love.
The glamour and elegance.
Yes, absolutely.
You're also doing a documentary with the ladies. You know, you're going to meet with them, and you're going to see firsthand how they're going to look up to you and ask you questions and want to know how you started your career and what advice you would give to them if they are just starting out
and
with their careers.
That their career is at least half as wonderful as mine has been from pageants. Because I didn't know then that I had to go to Nashville. You know? I didn't know I needed to be where Porter Wagoner could see me. But these
what
girls
advice
are going to know
you,
because I'm going to tell them.
What advice would you give aspiring singers right now or people that are just starting out in their careers?
I would say never give up on your dream. Never. Take 500 no's. And then that 501 can be a yes. I know I was lucky, very, very lucky. There was people who had been working at the same place that I was working at the Palace for 5 and 6 years. And a lot of them got angry, and they were my friends when before Porter, but after Porter they were no longer, you know, didn't want to talk to me when I would stop in or whatever. And it would hurt my feelings, but I was young, very, very young, and I don't know, with me, let's see, I would say, please, don't let society, all we hear when we turn the news on is bad. Don't let all this negativity everywhere you look get in your life. First of all, I would say don't ever pick up a drug of any kind, cigarette included. It's a horrible, horrible habit. But there's so much out there that they can get into this, just, it'll take their dream and it'll shatter it. I would say no to drugs and say yes to you and to your talent and to whatever your dream is. I hope we're going to have some singers call in later and give us a little bit of, let us listen to some talent too. But what I'm saying is, whatever it is that it is you want to do, whether it be acting, whatever, don't take that no and go home and cry. Take that no and go home and say, you wait, I'll show them. And then go back out tomorrow and do it again. Just go to a different place till you get that one yes. And always stay true to yourself and your morals.
You know, our motto is a positive person is a success. We really believe in that because I believe that you have to feel good about yourself and have a great self-esteem to be able to accomplish things in your life. I know when I first started out, and I've made mistakes in the business. I mean, I have to admit to that. There's things, but I've learned from them, and you hope you grow from them, you know. And when I was ill for about 8 months, a couple of years ago, I had just reflected on the things that I feel needed to be changed and needed to be improved upon. So when we started the pageant system, again, I wanted to bring back the elegance and glamour because I think it was missing. We tried to take a choreographed pageant production and turn it into a Broadway-type event, which we weren't all ready for that because it became a monster of its own. I mean, it just, you need a full staff of professional people to be able to pull off what we wanted to do. In fact, we wanted to change the wheel. And it was fun. I mean, it was fun. It was great.
Oh, it would have been beautiful, I'm sure.
But it just, you know, we were going into another realm we were not ready for. And then, too, a lot of the gals wanted the elegance of pageantry. They didn't want to choreograph pageant production numbers and things like that. So we went back to the elegance and glamour, and we found that it worked. And it works because of the wonderful people involved with us and also with the wonderful contestants that come in. And you have to have a good self-esteem to be able to do something like this because you're putting yourself out on stage to be judged. And to me, that's a tough thing to do, is to be judged by people that don't know you.
Right. I mean, you're scared because you know that if you're being judged, they're looking for flaws. You know? That's how I always felt. Anytime I was in any contest or anything like that, I felt like, okay, they're waiting for me to screw up. So, you know, I'm not gonna hit a flat note. I'm not gonna hit a sharp note. I'm gonna be on every time. Well, you can't be on every time. You just can't. Nobody's perfect. You know that. And, but if you do your best every time, you know, the best that you can do, then you can walk away feeling proud that you did the best you could do. You're a winner. You did the best you could do.
And it's difficult to be able to do anything in life if you don't feel good about yourself. I've known
many
people.
You have to have confidence or you can't sell you.
No, you can't. And, you know, there's times I've even lost my own confidence along the way saying, you know, I don't know if I'm doing this right, something's not, you know, working out. And when you start getting down, then everything starts to not fall into place. So you got to get back up and you have to keep going forward. And that makes for a successful person. So you live and learn and you go forward.
Right.
And, you know, you have to stay positive. And we try to encourage our contestants to stay positive and to feel good about themselves by bringing on consultants and people that are going to be able to help them to prepare for their competition, which you will be involved in for 3 days. You competing is going to be a lot different than when you host the event.
I know. I'm not going to be nervous. I don't have to. They're not going to be looking at me to judge me. and that I look forward to. I'm going to get to do some singing, I heard.
Yes, you're going to be singing on stage.
That right there is, you know, that's something I'm more at home on a stage than I am in a room with three or four people. I'm so excited. All my girlfriends are like so excited about the tours, meeting this guy and that guy, that, you know, they're in love with Toby, they're in love with Clay or Walker or whoever. And with me, it's like, oh, I'm just so excited about this. I can't stand it.
Now, you have sung with Toby on stage together.
Oh, Tobe and I knew each other before Tobe got his record deal. I was singing at the Opry the first time I met Toby Keith and Trisha Dish, who was his wife then. And that's what he called her. Her name was Trish. And he's like, man, someday I'm going to... He got a picture with me, and he said, someday I'm going to stand right there where you stood. And, hey, big dog's done it. He calls himself the big dog, and he is the big dog. He outsells everybody in Nashville by... I would hate to guess the margin. Seriously, he's the biggest dog in Nashville.
Well, he's very charismatic, and he is very talented, which, you know, that's
And he calls it like he sees it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't hold back. He calls it like he sees it. He's a great songwriter. He loves our troops. God bless you guys out there and you families, whoever's listening that has a husband, a son, a boyfriend, a brother, a nephew, whatever, a sister, a wife, a daughter. Thank you for what they're doing for us. And
well, our current Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Queen just came back from her tour in Afghanistan as a captain.
And I think that is so, is that not great?
Yes, we're very proud of her.
I am so proud of her.
Yeah.
Yes, and because these people, when we play for them, you can play audiences, and I've got certain towns and cities in the U.S. that when we're playing in the States I enjoy playing in more than I do others because the audiences are more lively or whatnot. Texas is hard to beat. But there's different states that, you know, I love to play in. But there ain't nothing like playing for the troops. And they're so appreciative. And they'll wait in line for hours and hours and hours in that hot sun to get a photograph and an autograph. And, you know, you try to make each one of them feel like they're a part of that show as much as you possibly can. I do anyway. And Toby loves them to death. He's probably been over there 40 times now. And will continue to do so because I haven't got to go this time, and I'm so excited that, you know, mine's coming up, and I look forward to it with much, much excitement. The troops and having someone in this pageant that's representing the pageant all year long, who is a captain. Oh my gosh. I don't think that I won't say something about that while I'm over there entertaining them. And I do pray that we will be able to get some of the queens over next year, and get them clear through Homeland, and troops would love to see beauty queens, trust me. They would just love it. And I hope so much to be able to do that.
I'm
excited about.
That would be such an exciting thing for our national team to be able to be able to go there with you and entertain the troops. And so we're hoping for that.
Yeah,
we really are.
Thank you.
But you're also a talented songwriter, you know, and I don't think Gina gives herself enough credit for that. I've heard some of the songs she's written, and she's absolutely talented. I cannot wait till she writes them and sings them, you know.
I know. Well, we're in the studios now, and it won't be long. It won't be long till you can hear a rough cut. Now, it takes a long time before one's actually finished. It takes forever. But you'll be hearing it before, you know, any of the public will be able to hear it. But I hope by January that everybody will be able to hear a Gina James song and CD, and or buy a CD and watch a video on Toby's new label. That's our hope and pray. That's what we're hoping and praying for anyway right now.
You and I have some projects in the work that we're hoping and praying for as well.
And I'm excited about that too.
You know, and we really
excited.
Don't want to get into it yet, but, you know, maybe in the future we'll be able to tell our listeners what's going on, but, I mean, we've got some exciting projects.
Oh, Diane,
and
that's
I are
so
kind of
mean of you.
You know, because I know one thing in pageantry. When you say
wonder, oh, how mean.
Well, you know what? Let them wonder, because then they'll come back every week and listen to this show.
Yeah, that's true, but oh my God.
I know, honey, you know, and I've learned one thing in this business, that, you know, if you say something, they're going to make you live up to it.
Hey, that's the reason I'm wanting you to say it. I'm wanting you to live up to it.
Oh, and if I can't, oh boy.
I cannot wait. I will say this. I'll tell this much. Diane is also a designer. And, she is going to be designing some things for me, and I am so excited about that. I'll put that much out there.
All right. Well, I guess since you said that, I'm going to tell everybody they're putting together your signature line of clothing, the Gina James signature line of clothing. And you know what? I'm humble. I don't want to brag, but you know what? She's going to be wearing this clothing on her tour. Should she approve the portfolio when we put it together?
Absolutely. I love her stuff. Love, love, love it. She's so talented in so many ways. I mean, Lady Di is not just, you know, a talk show host. She was a TV talk show host for many years, which is a hard thing to do in today's market.
Well, the talk show we had, Gina, was more on a positive talk show, inspirational.
That's the reason. Hey, if you'd have done the Jerry Springer, you'd still be on the air. You'd be on the big networks. If you would have had my family on that one episode, my dysfunctional family, we would have upped those ratings right through the roof.
Can't do it. Won't do it, honey. I will not stoop. There's too much going on. I will. You know what? Like I said, our title of our show is For a Beautiful You, and we want to focus in on people such as yourself, who are such inspirations and beautiful people inside and out that make the world go round. We have enough negativity today in this world to drown with, okay,
and it's
from
the
media and the radio, every which way. I will never, they couldn't offer me enough money to host a television talk show that's purely negative. It would have to be inspirational and positive, and nobody wants to hear that today. Don't bring in the ratings.
I do. I want to hear it really bad because I'll tell you, I stopped listening to news I don't know how long ago, and I'm going to tell another bad thing about myself as far as the newspapers go. I get the papers, but I get them because I like the sales ads.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you like to use silly putty on the cartoons or something.
No, that's you. But no, I love to shop. Every woman loves to shop.
Caller on line 2.
Hi, we have a caller on line 2. Hi, you're on with us and for a beautiful you. Hello, caller.
I'm not. Which caller are you asking for?
Yes, for a beautiful you with Gina James.
Is this one for Jereen? I'm online.
Oh my God.
Hi, girls.
Oh my gosh. Do you know who we're talking to? This is the writer of the novel or of the autobiography of Porter and My Life Together, Diane. This is Jereen.
Jereen, hi, I've heard so much about you, Jereen. Welcome to the Four Beautiful You Talk Show. How's it? How are you liking it so far, Jereen?
Oh, I'm loving everything I'm learning, and I can't tell you.
I forgot to tell her some things she's supposed to put in the book.
Well, actually, I knew 90%, but what I meant is I'm loving everything I'm learning as we're researching and putting the book together. I'm researching and putting the book together, and she's giving me her lifeline, and it's just been wonderful getting to know Gina. She's beautiful. She's as beautiful inside as she is outside. And I saw the struggle she
call,
was going through.
I figured you did.
She was really, when I first read her profile, it was her friend Kathy that introduced me to Gina, and when I read that she had lost her dad, and within, you know, just a very short time lost Porter, my heart went out to her because I had lost my father, and then my husband passed away in 2000, so 2001, and so I could identify with what she was going through. And what started out is just, you know, getting to know her. I mean, we've built an incredible friendship.
Absolutely.
And
every day.
Can't meet a more beautiful person than Gina. And she's very, very true in all the stuff that she's saying and that she wants to do for everybody and share. And, you know, I want to comment about the USO tour thing. I'm a Vietnam era and Desert Storm era veteran.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, no, what I want to share about that is that I did go to USO tour shows. And they were incredible, and they were very inspiring. And so it was, you know, when you do that for the troops, we do appreciate it.
Aww.
So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that.
Thanks.
That's when Bob Hope was involved, right, Doreen?
Oh, yeah. Bob Hope.
Yes.
And yes. There were so many incredible stars back then. But Bob Hope, it was incredible watching him perform. He was hilarious, and he was genuine, and he was loving, and there were sometimes he'd even sit down and talk to the people in the audiences, you know, like they were in their living room, just kicking back and having a good time. And he was an incredible man. And we really appreciate everybody with USO, and that whole organization, just any kind of support they can get is a wonderful thing. So,
well, you know, we're going to have you on the show one day, Doreen, to talk about your experiences, you know,
really?
With writing with Gina and your USO tour and things that you've done.
Yeah.
I didn't go on a USO tour, just I got to see them.
Oh, you got to see them. Okay.
She was working there. She was in the forces.
Oh, okay. Misunderstood.
Yeah, I have 21 years military.
Oh, my goodness, Doreen.
You're
wonderful, and thank you for serving our country the way that you have.
Yes,
oh, thank you. It really was a privilege, because when you work with people that are the fiber of our military, it is a wonderful and incredible gift that you get to work with people of that caliber. And I don't regret working or serving with all those incredible young men and women. And now, in my life, a little older, but still incredible. And the beauty of it is, pardon?
You know, ladies, it's been wonderful speaking to both of you, but you know what? The time is up for the show to be over. Do you believe it's been almost an hour? We're going to have Gina back online, back on the show again, and then we're also going to have Doreen if she wants to. And
you to have Doreen on.
You know what? We want to thank you, Gina, for being on the show.
Thank you, darling. And it has touched my heart that you asked me to be the very first guest.
Yes, and you'll be on again, and we will be updating our listeners on exactly what's happening with you. And we want to thank you for being on our show for The Beautiful You. And tune in next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central, as we have wonderful guests for you. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.